Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocket.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane, that's got two words for you.
Underwhelmed Lindsay Ward.
The underwhelmed Lindsay Ward?
The underwhelmed, but we'll get into it.
We'll get into that. Do you like that little tease with the gong?
Very nice. Very well played.
Oh, on the spot producing. It's awesome. So, we have a lot sort of to get into. All right. Basically, tonight's Raw, I'll put it out there, was about setting up everything but the main event.
Yeah, they built the undercard tonight.
Which they needed to do. So just throwing it out there before we get to it all. Show open. The man who wasn't on Raw that no one really missed, John Cena, came out with his bright yellow t-shirt.
It's like they ordered a whole bunch of those for the GTS shirts, and then they couldn't print them because everybody hated the yellow GTS shirt, so then they just gave them to Cena.
Like, me and you, we sat here, we looked at the shirt on WWEshop.com. We thought, perfect, it looks good. Then it was on TV. We thought it was a darker yellow, they fooled us, it's not.
Yeah, it's, oh god, it's just, ugh.
Yeah. John Cena said there were some Rock fans here tonight. He gave, you know, the crowd was had 20 days to pick a side. He noted he's standing in front of a sold-out crowd that's, you know, basically divided. Cena said he has a message to all Rock fans, pointed to a sign that says, "Our time is now." Cena, now in preacher mode, as the thing says, said it started with the Royal Rumble. He is focused and he's ready for WrestleMania. And then the primetime player showed up.
To which we all went, what the hell?
What? Wait. Prime time play? Wait, what? I'm confused. Darren Young, dressed to wrestle. Titus O'Neil in his... Alright, wasn't Titus O'Neil. It was Rufus Pancake Patterson.
It was Titus O'Neil in a wig.
Just Rufus Pancake Patterson. There's probably something that inside about that, we're just going to let it be. Cena tried to get the crowd behind them by taking, you know, getting cheap pops for the Steelers and the Penguins There's insults thrown back and forth. And then basically they said, you know, basically winds up the match. It was a terrible segment. I'm just being honest. It was terrible. Basically, they try to act like, you know, telling that, you know, John Cena's a loser and he would be crying that he lost like he did at WrestleMania. So, Darren Young, John Cena is our opening contest. Yeah.
This segment left everybody scratching their heads going, seriously, what the hell? Like, I'm sitting here going the whole time, is there a point to this?
It got John Cena on TV. It got the primetime players on TV. Yeah,
it's just like, you know, you have Cena come out fine, hype his match fine, The Rock's not there, we get it, we know. But it's like, you could have just had him come out and do that without the primetime players, and it would have been just as effective to have him come out, to have the primetime players come out. Okay, fine, they challenge Cena to a match, but to have O'Neal come out as Patterson? What the hell was that? I'm sorry. It was like he walked out and he's in a wig and a jumpsuit. Somebody please explain this.
I can't. Usually I can explain things they do. I can't explain this one. I guess Vince McMahon heard Titus O'Neil do an impression and thought it was funny. So let's put it on TV.
Oh, Vince.
Yes, Cena won. No real shocker there. John Cena beat Darren Young in about 4 minutes. We then have Ryback walking down the hallway getting set for his matchup against the star, as I roll my eyes, of the call, David Otunga. Welcome back, David Otunga.
Welcome back, David Otunga. The oil ladies missed you.
Ryback won. After the match, Ryback was vowed to tear the Shield apart at WrestleMania. And as far as Mark Henry is concerned, he will, you know, fight him on his way to WrestleMania. They will cross paths, and then it'll be feeding time as the crowd then chants, "Feed me more!" And then Mark Henry's music played, out came Mark Henry, out came Vicky Guerrero, who tried to say, "Excuse me." Teddy Long came out there. I don't know why, but he was out there. They were trying to control the Ryback, or Mark Henry, I should say. Vicky then said she's taking Ryback out of WrestleMania, sort of. She's taking him out of the six-man tag match at WrestleMania, and then put him in a match against Mark Henry for WrestleMania. After that, Ryback picked up Otunga, laid him out one more time with Shell Shock. So we have an official Mark Henry Ryback at WrestleMania. Good.
Nice way to put Otunga over for finally, you know, helping to deliver a good movie for he put for on WWE a, films.
He put on the Academy Award performance for that movie. Yeah. All right. So the good, we got the match.
Yes, Ryback's out. Who goes in? We guess we find out later. But yeah, it worked. It worked. I think Vicky was out there because she's Raw. Teddy was out there because he's SmackDown, and Ryback's technically Raw, and Mark Henry is technically SmackDown. So it's that, you know, last little fading bit of the brand split that's still there. Like I said, did what it needed to do. I'm, you know, again, building more of the undercard. Not too terribly excited. This will probably be the go get snacks match because it's Henry and Ryback, and yeah, neither does anything for me, but, so yeah. So what'd you guys think of the match? As I'm sitting here stalling. I'm not talking about whose hair. Her hair, Vicky's hair, yes. Vicky's hair. Okay, I can't actually talk about this for a minute. What the heck, Vicky Guerrero, did you want to turn yourself into a skunk? And the blonde strip, I just, no, honey. No. Go back to your hairdresser and have him fix it. That just looks really, really, really horrifically bad. Especially with your kind of haircut. It just not doing anything for you. If you want to get highlights, that's fine. Get highlights. Get frosted tips. But a streak on the front of your face, just, yeah.
as I was choking on water, that's why I couldn't talk. Oh, it's good. Yeah, her hair. Terrible.
Well, you could have typed dying in the chat.
Well, I was trying to just say talk for a minute. Jesus. All right.
And to answer LeMann's question, Ryback isn't going to be able to shell-shock Henry. That's kind of the point, is can Ryback create an offense without his normal moveset?
Mm-hmm. Very true. Then we had a really weird moment. They're priping up the Brock Lesnar Triple H contract signing, and then we get Jerry Lawler's music.
I think that was a production miscue.
Yeah, someone said, play the King of Kings music, and they pulled Jerry Lawler's music.
It was probably, like, right above one another in the playlist.
Yeah.
And they just may have clicked on the wrong one.
Yeah, it was odd. So, up next, the strangest moment of all. We have a big fancy curtain, big stage. Out walks Fandango.
And the dancer.
He was on his way to the ring to face the Great Khali. He has pyro now. He has a little silhouette of him, you know, dancing. Natalya grabbed the microphone and said, Fandango. Oh, get him, Khali. And Khali goes sort of after him. Fandango runs away. Fans chant that you can't wrestle. Usually save for Khali. This was saved for Fandango.
Actually, we don't know if he can wrestle or not because we haven't seen him!
This is true. Yeah. We shall continue because you really want to talk about it?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Is he ever going to debut? I mean, like, is he ever really going to debut in the ring? Because at this point, he can just go the heck away, and I would care less. Other than I would miss the pretty dancing girl, because the girls have got moves, because they're getting actual professional dancers. But, like, him, the creepy voice, the cheesy costume, and the little fiery silhouette thing. It's like, the whole thing, it's like, okay, you should have done this about a month ago. Because at this stage, it's a joke. It's seriously a joke. He is Brodus Clay 2.0.
We will get to probably when he debuts in a little bit.
What, you think Mania?
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. There's stuff to come. Oh, next.
Well, I may have a new snack match.
May have a new snack match. R-Truth, Damian Sandow. This is what I'll say. Go to YouTube later. Go to WWE Fan Nation on YouTube. Watch the JBL and Cole show. Damian Sandow sings. That's entertaining. This man. Yeah. Fine stuff.
It was a match. It worked. Sandow was entertaining. Truth was entertaining.
I don't understand why we didn't get a finish.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But Truth won via countout. We had backstage. The Bell Twins were talking with Cody and his mustache. Caitlin walked up. She said they can't hang out later because she has a thing. Then told the Bellas to keep playing with Cody's mustache and he'll keep playing with theirs. Okay.
Yeah, this was a huh?
Yeah.
Caitlin's hair looked nice.
And they got a close-up of her boobs.
They're kind of hard to miss.
This is very true. We continue along. We're at hour number two. And out walks the dead man, The Undertaker. He took his time walking to the ring. And, well, he had this message for CM Punk.
Punk, last week
You sealed your own fate when you decided to make this personal. There's no escaping what's going to happen to you at WrestleMania. I'm going to hurt you, and I'm going to hurt you bad. You have one chance to save your own soul. I want that urn back.
Taker, focus. He's pissed off.
He has a mad Taker, which is always good, but...
Then things got, well, interesting.
My Undertaker! Oh, yes! Oh, yes! Undertaker! Oh, yes! Oh!
No disrespect intended, Undertaker. I never could hit the high notes. Paul wants you to know something. Paul wants you to know that his death wasn't just a personal loss. It's a professional loss as well. What? Hang on. Ever the consummate manager. Paul also wants you to know that at WrestleMania, if you get counted out or disqualified, it's still a loss. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, Undertaker, you are the best at WrestleMania. Compared to all the other WWE superstars, I don't have to tell you what 20-0 means. You know. Yeah, you can almost say that at WrestleMania, you're the best in the world. You've never faced anybody like me at WrestleMania. Because I'm the best in the world 365 days a year. And you have powers unmatched by anybody in the WWE. You answer to a higher calling. I don't have powers. I don't answer to a higher calling or a higher power. I am a higher power. And I'm not going to tell you I was born to beat the streak or that it's my destiny. No. I'm the one man in the world that can shoulder the burden of snapping your streak. Because I'm willing to walk through hell and endure whatever pain you see fit to inflict on me. I will beat the streak. I am the one that is going to end your undefeated streak at WrestleMania. Hell, I am the one in 20-1. Oh. The top almost came off. Again, no disrespect intended.
So Punk was bouncing the urn around the entire promo.
Was I the only one sitting there waiting for him to drop it?
Nope.
I want to go off on this a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
And honestly, everybody knows I'm not 100% excited for this feud. Just because to me it's kind of eh. Mm-hmm. The involvement with Paul Bearer has helped it a little bit, but I honestly was really underwhelmed by this promo, and it wasn't on Punk's side. Punk's doing a good job as far as I'm concerned. I'm actually a little underwhelmed with Taker. And it's like, okay, you know, this week he's going to come out, he's going to talk, we're going to get the reason why he's back, we're going to get the promo that's essentially going to start to sell this feud, and him walking out and just saying, I'm going to mess you up and I'm going to mess you up bad, it's like, that's it? Really? That's it? And there's no follow-up, there's no nothing, there's just that. it's like I keep waiting for more and they're not giving us more. And I don't know, maybe we'll, I know there's like 2 weeks left till Mania or 3 weeks or whatever it is, but it's, this is all we're getting right now. And it's just, it's, yeah, it's just, it's underwhelming for me. It's like, I'd like to see them do a little bit more with it. Either involve the social media, either post videos online, use the app, whatever. You know, it's just, to me, it's, and maybe I'm the only one. I'm sure a lot of people love Taker's response. I from a standpoint of Taker talked, it was great to hear him talk. But it was like, it's just really, that's all we're going to get, that's it.
You, what he said was fine. No doubt about that. But it left you wanting him to say more, do more, as King Kinsho show his frustrations a little bit, you know, attack people.
Right. It's, I almost feel like, you know, CM Punk has done the most disrespectful thing to The Undertaker in the sense that he has stolen the urn, which is the symbol of The Undertaker's power. I feel like Taker should be doing more to get it back at this stage, either stalking Punk backstage or sending druids after him or whatever. You know, having, that's what it feels like it should be, that Taker should be actively trying to get this urn back from Punk, whether it be, and we should be seeing stuff on like house shows and online and different, and in different mediums to really sell the fact that Taker wants this back. Because from this, my standpoint, it's like they're actually doing a better job at this stage of building a feud between Kane and Punk, just because Kane's got a more personal tie to Paul Bearer as he was his father. Mm-hmm. Then, and Kane's honestly doing a little bit better of a job of selling it than Taker is as far as this is concerned for me. And this is just me. This is my personal opinion. They are not the opinions of the Wild Talk Radio Network. So to me, it's just like, it feels like they could be doing more, especially since they only have a really short window to build this feud because Taker was kept off TV for so long. And I understand that Paul Bearer was not a part of the original plan. I get that. I totally get it. But it's, it feels like he should be doing more.
Because all we got tonight was a 6-minute segment between the two of them. You want more. You want them to, where's the hook? Like, we know why Taker wants to beat up Punk. We got that. It's just, I don't know. Someone's not feeling it, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not feeling it.
I mean, like, Taker's not feeling the story. He's not giving it that full drive, maybe.
I mean, I get that, personally, the person Mark Calaway has suffered a loss, and probably doing this about Bearer involving, or I'm sorry, about Moody is probably very hard for him. And I can't imagine what pain he's in right now. Because he's lost his friend. And
he
that's
has.
Always hard.
He has, and it's,
I'm actually wondering if it's not Punk that isn't feeling, not feeling the story. Just because Punk came out, has come out on several occasions and said he's really not interested in fighting Taker at Mania. That could have been a work. But it's, maybe Punk's not feeling it. Maybe it's just, they don't know what to do with it or where to go with it or how far. Or maybe we're just going to get everything in the next 2 weeks.
We got two weeks. The promo they keep playing here for Raw is, what will happen when CM Punk and The Undertaker are in the same arena? And it gets you going, maybe they will beat the crap out of each other. That's what you want to see. You want to see Taker get his hands on him and, or, you know, in some fashion. You know what I mean?
Right, you want to see basically, we want to see The Undertaker retaliate in some way, and not just verbally. It's, when Punk had the urn, you almost expected for the lightning to come down. Taker was that pissed off that it's just like, you know, bam, you see lightning, or, it's like Punk was barricaded off.
He was. And I honestly thought we would get more with it, and we didn't.
I mean, something cool would be to have just, you know, Punk backs up and something jumps out at him from behind the forklift.
We need more of the... If we're going to do this Undertaker style, we need more Undertaker tricks.
Right. It's... Punk's playing... The Undertaker's known for playing mind games, and right now Punk is playing all the mind games and Taker's not reciprocating.
Right.
So it's just... It's that. It's... I would like to see more on Taker's end, and there's ways for them to do that without Taker really having to do anything. You know, the gongs and the smoke and the lights and the druids and the whatevers. You know, it's they can do more, and it's just, it's not... After last week, they did a really nice job of setting it up, and Punk did a really good job over the weekend of selling it. If you watch the videos from the house shows, and there's just, there's... It's just not there.
It's not there yet. They have... I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. 2 weeks.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm giving them 2 weeks, but...
Maybe this is something where... You know, we said last year they climaxed too early.
They did climax too early last week, but they're taking their good sweet time this week.
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, this year. So it's, I don't know. I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I was really looking forward to Raw this week just to see what else they were going to do after last week, and the promo did nothing for me. It's like, really? Really? Punk beats down your brother, he steals the urn, he disrespects Paul Bearer, and the only thing you have to say is, I'm going to mess you up, and I'm going to mess you up bad. That's it?
Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week. The one thing I do like, how they censored out, oh shit, in Punk's promo.
Yeah. Well, they missed it the one time.
Yeah.
Like, in the replays, they missed it once. They got it 3 of the 4 times.
Yes. So, that was good. I like Punk. Punk was great. I liked him doing his Harlem Globetrotter routine with Aaron. That was fantastic.
Oh, that was great. And the whole time you're sitting there, you're going, you're waiting for him to drop it because you know he's going to do it. And I will say that was a great thing where he drops it and it just goes clank, clank, clank until they cut back to Taker and he's like, oh, just drops his head.
Like, Taker, yeah. Taker should have just gone after him at that point. And
yeah, it should have been Taker just spikes the mic, gets out of the ring, and storms backstage, and it's like, screw it, I'm going to go and get this back now.
Yes, and he just didn't go there.
Because, I mean, and one of the other things I really would love to see, and this is just me, and this is how it would kind of help to sell it for me, is they're obviously making this about Bearer and the family honor and that kind of thing. And it's to have Kane look at Taker and go, get the urn back, and if you don't get it back, I will, kind of thing. Because I feel like Taker should kind of sort of be trying to fight Kane off of this as well. And it's... Because Kane has as much of a stake in this as Taker does.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what to say.
Yeah, I just, the whole thing was like, although Taker's face, because I'm sitting here actually watching the promo right now on my replay, Taker's face when Punk's voice came over the speakers was like, what the hell? But yeah, so it was what it was. I'm going to give it the big benefit of doubt. We've got 2 more weeks to build it. I'm hoping to God that they do more next week just because this week was obviously dedicated to building the undercard. But, yeah, I need more at this stage. I really, really kind of need more. If you want me to pay $55 for this pay-per-view, I need more.
Just feed Lindsay more.
Yes, feed Lindsay more.
Well, we will. Up next, Primo and Epigo take on Daniel Bryan and Kane. Fine match.
Speaking of someone having a mad.
Yeah, Kane has a mad, big time. The best part of the match, AJ skipped to the ring. And she tried her old tricks of trying to distract Kane, and it didn't really work. He was able to recover and focused in on chokeslamming Epico for the win.
Yeah, it was, yeah. when she came out, and she came out in the red and black, we're like, it's AJ Quinn!
She tried!
She tried really hard! But, sadly, no, she couldn't make it happen.
They're not falling for her tricks this time around like they did last year.
Well, Kane sort of sold it a little bit.
He did, but he snapped back into being Kane.
Yeah, he snapped back into it, and Brian just was, like, not even fazed by it, and I'm maybe going to pose a question for Thursday to you later after the show, but yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that. Teaser, Rack, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. We do a show, if you didn't know. But now you do. Backstage, we have Chris Jericho talking. And, well, take a listen to this.
Chris, your thoughts on tonight's triple threat match?
Here's a thought. I have held the Intercontinental Championship more than any other superstar in the history of the WWE ever! 9 times! And I have the chance to make it 10. And what momentum to have going into WrestleMania. The biggest night of the year. The night when everybody wants to make the biggest impact they can make. The showcase of the immortals. From The Undertaker to The Rock to Y2J to every single... You got something to say, Junior? I didn't catch your name. It's Fandango. Fandango. Fandumbo. Fandunghole. Fandango. Fandangler. Fan Dodge Durango. Fan Sweet Mango. Fan Wango Tango. Fan Dingo Ate My Baby O. Fan B-I-N-G Bingo Was His Name O. Oh!
That's very, very funny, Christopher. You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
But don't go away. I didn't get my movie tickets yet. I want 2 for Dead Man Down. I don't want to take my grandma.
I'd like the Fandango reference at the end by Jericho.
That was amazing. Jericho saving the show.
He was, really, he was. The promo, that was mic work. That was great mic work by Jericho, honestly. It really was. Jericho was entertaining, and he's a star, and it showed in that promo. Don't mean we want to see the match, but, you know, got a promo.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like, oh, God, not this. They're not going to do a Dancing with the Stars tie-in. No. No. Yeah, that's what they're
going
to do.
Yep, that's where they're going. That's exactly where they're going. So, up next, we have World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio against Cody Rhodes in a really good match. Cody Rhodes took some interesting bumps throughout the match, but ended up losing via submission. What'd you think?
It would help if I didn't mute myself, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
I thought it was very well done. It was entertaining.
Better Del Rio match than I've seen in a while.
It was a better Del Rio match than I've seen in a while. What really kind of sold it was the end.
Yes. After the match, Jack Swagger hit the ring and attacked Del Rio from behind. Carter tried to help, but Swagger got rid of him, tossing him out of the ring. Swagger and Del Rio brawled some more. Del Rio then kicked Swagger in the mouth before chucking him into the guardrail. Zeb Calder then entered by taking the shot by telling Swagger to get up. Del Rio then turned to face Zeb and stalked him. Zeb backed off. Swagger nailed him from behind. Swagger continued the assault, putting him over onto the announce table. Then Swagger welcomed everyone to Jack Swagger's America, pointing up to the sign. He's ready to leave. And then he spots Ricardo. And oh my god, poor Ricardo. Poor Ricardo got his ankle broken by that dastardly Jack Swagger.
Del Rio must have one hell of a health plan.
He must.
I mean, seriously, he must. But what sold this was Ricardo.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh my god, he sold that like a boss.
He did. He was screaming. He was screaming, don't touch it, don't touch it. And yeah, he played it up really well. That finally generated some actual heat in this match, in this feud, I should say.
Yeah, it was like, there you go. That's how you make it personal.
So now we got the personal aspect, and we now will have Jack Swagger, Alberto Del Rio in 3 weeks at WrestleMania. He was stretchered off to the back as we came back from the break. When we did come back from the break, we were told we have a new inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, Booker T.
Congratulations to him.
Very, very well, congratulations, yes. Very deserved for one Booker T.
You know, they put together a really nice video package of his career. They played him up really well, made him look really good. So, congratulations to him. It's shaping up to be a really good class this year, so might actually be worth a watch.
So, this is my little sidetrack on this video package, because I'll have to watch it again. You know the most famous Booker T clip out there?
The one Spinner Rooney?
No, the one where he uses the N-word.
Oh, yes.
I think they use that in the video package. I'm not 100% sure. But I think they slipped that in there. The clip of it before he says it. I think they slipped that video in there.
Probably.
So.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the video unless you put the N-word in with it. If you cut the N-word out, then it's just fine.
I might be totally wrong, but I thought I caught it. I'll have to watch it again. But when I saw it, I thought, that video looked familiar. But either way, congratulations, Booker T, for becoming the next member into the WWE Hall of Fame to go along the likes of Bruno Sammartino, Donald Trump, Trish Stratus, Mick Foley, Bob Backlund. Am I missing anyone?
No, I think you're missing anybody.
So, yeah.
So they're rounding out the class really nicely. We'll see if we get anybody else. Probably not. I think Booker's probably the last one they're going to announce.
I think at this point, I would think this is it.
Unless they do something special for, like, Madison Square Garden, which they had been talking about doing.
Or the Brooklyn Brawler.
Or the Brooklyn Brawler, yes.
Up next, we have Randy Orton and the Sheamus taking on the three-man band, baby!
Dean!
Isn't it Drew?
No, Dean.
Okay, Orton and Sheamus won in a more competitive match than I thought we were going to get.
I don't care about the three-man band. We got Dean.
Yes, the Shield interrupted the celebration. Dean, Seth, and Rowan came down as they normally do. They're ready to attack, but out comes the Big Show. He ran faster than he's ever run before. I swear there might have been an earthquake in Pittsburgh.
Probably.
So Big Show runs in, has the back of Orton and Sheamus, the Shield. Back away. They just back away. They're not ready to fight. Numbers are not in their favor. Show, standing in the ring, then points to the WrestleMania 20 sign. And walks out. So could Big Show be the partner for Sheamus and Orton?
I guess we'll have to watch SmackDown to find out.
I think we will, but my hunch tells me, yep.
By the way, incidentally, if the Shield, for whatever reason, if they're still together in May, when they come to Salt Lake and Dean comes through that crowd, all you're going to see is a white streak of me going flying by as he gets tackled.
So if you're in the Utah area, I might need your help to bail Lindsay out.
Yeah.
So that's a Raw house show, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. So, yeah, the Shield was there. Solid, you know, the Shield, they know when to use the numbers, and they know when to, you know, back away from the fight.
Which is smart. It was nice. It wasn't just, oh yeah, we're going to brawl. It shows that the Shield picked their fights. Good Lord, Kane was pasty tonight.
I like how everyone in the chat room says, I don't have money, I'll send a few dollars. Not asking for your money, but if you would like to donate, you know how to do so. Does this happen often? No.
No.
WWE hasn't been in Utah in a while, so we're trying to stock up on the bail fund, you know, sort of thing.
They're all going to be here with the exception of Taker, so yeah.
So, yeah. Up next, Dolph Ziggler takes on Kofi Kingston. The only disappointment I had was I thought Brian was going to come out and skip. But he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Ziggler won. The bump Kofi took on the outside. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a heck of a bump.
Yeah. Ziggler continues his winning streak.
He does.
3 straight wins for Dolph Ziggler. He's on a roll. After the match, Daniel Bryan and Kane came onto the stage. Daniel Bryan mocked the plot for his big win tonight. He said that they're the only ones to finally get Kane and Daniel Bryan on the same page. Kane then said, in case you haven't been paying attention, I'm not in a good place right now.
Love that line.
It's a great line. He said they've all seen what Big E can do outside of the ring, but what about inside? So then Kane then challenged Dolph and Big E to face Team Hell No. Dolph was like, no, not going to happen, no. Then Miss AJ jumped in front of her men to say that her boys accept the challenge, but she said it would only happen if you put the tag team titles on the line at WrestleMania. They sat there, paused for a second, and they started screaming, yes! We will have the match at WrestleMania. Dolph Ziggler, Big E, versus Team Hell No, or as we like to call them, the Anger Buddies.
Yes.
I like the segment. It set up the match.
I like the segment. It did set up the match. It did a nice job, so look forward to more Daniel Bryan, Kane, and AJ moments.
Which we all really enjoy.
AJ skipping, always a good thing.
Yeah, they have great chemistry. It's fantastic. We get a nice video package hyping up Rock and Cena once again. WWE production crew, tremendously awesome, trying to sell this match.
Yeah, their post-production just needs to put together all the videos because they could sell every match on Mania just through the highlight videos that they produce. Seriously.
Right, and that's what they did back in the day. We wouldn't get promo after promo after promo back in the early 90s. It was once in a while, get a promo and sell the match. And that's what we're doing with Rock and Cena. The promo, the video packages are selling the match right now. Guess what? The Rock's back next week. Business picks up.
Things get serious.
Mm-hmm. But it's main event time, Lindsay.
It's main event time.
It's main event time. Wade Barrett, Chris Jericho, The Miz, 3-way for the Intercontinental Championship. Very nice match.
Wade took an absolute beating in this.
He got destroyed in this one. But yes, nice. Jericho and Miz had some great chemistry. Barrett sold for both of them. We had some nice counters of finishing holds. Miz was able to hit the skull-crushing finale on Chris Jericho, finally. But Barrett snuck in the ring and stole the victory by rolling up the Miz for the 1-2-3. Looks like they're setting up Barrett-Miz at WrestleMania.
Looks like it, which I have no problem with.
Neither do I. So, up next, it's the main event segment of the show. Triple H comes down to the ring, ready for the contract signing. Out comes Paul Heyman with security in tow. Heyman, you know, Triple H wondered, where's Brock Lesnar? You know, he thought Brock would be the type of guy to look him in the eye since he busted him open. Heyman said that they all know that Lesnar is fearless, therefore not afraid of Triple H. Heyman said he is afraid of Hunter, though, and that's why he puts him in quite a predicament, you know. Choice A, disappoint the entire fan base and take away all the take away from all these people the match they want to see. Choice B, sign the contract to fight Lesnar in a match where he doesn't know the stipulations are. Heyman, but, you know, so because he senses that Hunter is conflicted, he doesn't want to take Hunter to take his anger out on him, so he brought security with him, and Hunter made a joke about how Paul Heyman spared no expense. I like that joke.
Yeah, Hunter was gold in this segment. He really was. Heyman was, too.
Oh, Heyman said Brock has already signed this contract, so if Hunter signs the contract, then Heyman gets to tell the stipulation. Hunter said Heyman is forgetting that it doesn't matter what the stipulations are, because he's still going to kick Lesnar's ass. Heyman said he understands Hunter's decision, but would like to enjoy this moment. In fact, they've spent countless hours watching one particular piece of footage over and over and over again, which was Brock Lesnar putting out Vince McMahon. Back to the contract signing. Oh, and it was also the footage of the blood. That also happened. Back to the contract signing. Heyman smirked, waiting for Heyman's redirection. Heyman said, "This is as big as it gets." He asked how they topped that. Heyman said he knows how to. It's Brock Lesnar versus Triple H, WrestleMania, and Triple H is blindfolded. No, that's not gonna be it. It's gonna be Hunter has his hands tied and ankles cuffed.
This is going somewhere kinky fast.
Yeah, apparently Heyman likes a kinky. But Heyman said that would give Hunter excuses if he lost. Hunter said he decided to pick the stipulation after Lesnar gave him permission. He said it's Hunter and Lesnar, and then the winner get Triple H's wife Stephanie. Heyman then said maybe that's not a good idea because the losers would then get Stephanie, and Hunter did not like this. He dove across and got his hands on Paul Heyman and just beat the crap out of Paul Heyman. Security guards tried to get involved. He threw them around. He tossed Heyman onto the table.
You're forgetting the one smart security guard who was all the that was left between Hunter and Heyman. He took one look at Hunter and bailed.
That's right.
Yeah, which was amazing.
The third security guard did bail out of the ring. Hunter grabbed Heyman, put him by the ponytail, put him on the table, start undressing Paul Heyman. Heyman screaming, "Brock! Brock! Where are you, Brock?" Hunter then took Mike and said that since he knows Brock isn't going to come out until he signs the contract, he's going, and he has a captive audience, you know, back on what Paul Heyman said. How about he takes his time and enjoy this? Hunter slapped Heyman around a bit, started ripping his shirt some more. He then grabbed the contract, signed it. He then told Heyman to call his monster. Paul Heyman was pushed over off the table, rolled out of the ring. We're all waiting for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar comes out with the steel chair in hand. Lesnar slammed it, you know, is ready to go. He storms to the ring with chair in hand. Hunter pulls out the sledgehammer, which was conveniently tucked underway underneath the table. Lesnar then was thinking twice about it. Heyman was pulling away, you know, saying, "We got this round. We won this round. We won this." Lesnar and Heyman eventually got up to the ramp. Hunter has still no ideas what the stipulations are. Heyman has the microphone in hand, says, he's not a tough guy, but Brock Lesnar is the toughest guy he knows. He said that the beating was worth it for Hunter to sign this contract. Heyman then announced that it'll be Triple H and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania with no countouts, no disqualification, no stopping the match for any reason, because this matchup will be no holds barred. Good. Nice. What the match needs. It's not Hell in a Cell, which everyone was expecting. Thankfully. Then, he forgot one thing, the added stipulation, and that's Hunter's career is on the line.
This is where it gets interesting.
Go for it.
Well, is it Hunter's whole career? Is it Hunter's wrestling career? Is it Hunter's business career? We don't... This could get interesting.
My gut says wrestling career.
But if you want to go with our hashtag Rack Exclusive, which is Paul Heyman is slowly is working his way to take over the company.
It could work. It could go there where Heyman gets control.
Well, it's... You get rid of Triple H's COO by having him put his whole career on a line. That includes... working with, as far as working as COO, so Hunter is gone from the company.
Possible.
I mean, it's they could do some really interesting things in the next 2 weeks with this. They really, really, really could.
Overall, I like this segment.
I thought it was good. I thought it sold everything really nicely.
They finally made this match official. So that's the positives. We need to put that out there. The match is now official. It will be Brock Lesnar and Triple H at WrestleMania. Thumbs up on that. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Career on the line? Great. It puts that doubt in there. Will Triple H's career actually end at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's... This has got the intensity and the heat on it that it needs. There's no, I mean, this is going to be a brutal ass kicking, and that's what you get from it, is somebody's going to get their ass handed to them. It's either going to be Hunter, it's going to be Brock, or it's just going to be an even exchange. And that's what I'm liking about this is getting a nice build to it.
Yes. I would agree. So that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. Seen better... Seen a lot worse. The undercard for the show was put together nicely. Taker left us wondering.
Taker left us wanting. They kind of had to take the show and put the undercard together on it, because honestly, the next 2 weeks are going to be about the Big Four. And that's what they have to focus on. And at some point, they do have to build the undercard. And yes. So why not take Raw, put all the attention on that, so that way, especially on the go-home, it'll probably be actually all about Rock and Cena.
The go-home will be Rock and Cena and Brock and...
Hunter
more, because Brock is not scheduled for next week, as far as I know.
Right, so we'll probably get more with Taker and Punk, and Rock and Cena.
Yeah.
And then the go-home will probably be all about
everyone.
The Big Four.
Be probably about all six, probably.
Yeah.
We're getting there. They're slowly climaxing. You're not getting there early. They're taking us on a journey. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, this has been another edition of the WTR All Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern with Alan Wojcik. He'll be speaking with Mabel, Bo, and Oscar of Men on a Mission, 9 p.m. Eastern, plus Demolition Accent Smash. Yes, Accent Smash, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Five people, one show. What you gonna do? 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry and Cheap Wood Paneling. Thursday night, Lindsay, 11 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in and listen. We're probably going to be talking a little bit more about WrestleMania as they build towards the feuds for sure. Build towards the show. We'll be talking all about Impact and discussions, question of the night, all that good, fun, happy stuff. So tune in and listen to The Rack. Also, please visit RackRadioShow.com for all your Rack needs.
Plus, on the show Thursday, we will be announcing who the Hall of Famer will be that's going to be on our show. So
tune in and listen.
Big announcement. Thursday. Rack. The Rack. The Rack. The Rack. The Rack. The Rack. Big announcement. Hall of Famer. Tune in. Did I promote our show enough? Or do I need to do more?
Whole network should be about us.
Friday night, Mace plays video games around 8 p.m. Eastern. Join him for that. Yes, Kane Kittens, it is Donald Trump. We have scored the exclusive interview with Donald Trump. No. Sorry. Anyway. Tune in for Mace Play Video Games. 8 p.m.-ish. He doesn't like me saying yes, but it's around ish. Saturday night, midnight-ish, the real-ish. CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We'll talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio, Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega will cover the week in pro wrestling as they like to do it. We'll be back next Monday for another edition of Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
You always ask me whenever I take a drink of water. Follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. Go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. Check that out. Go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com. And, of course, please visit CassidyRiley.net and also buy the one-night-only TNA pay-per-views. Cassidy is on one of them with Chase Stevens as the Hot Shots. I believe it is the tag team show and possibly the 10-year show. I'm going to get more details on that, and I'll get that up on the website ASAP.
So for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock. We'll see you next Monday for the Raw Post Show and Thursday night for The Rack. Live, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com.